Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. There are moments in history and in our lives when something crosses a line. Not anger, not justice. Something more feral. A word is needed for that shift, when civility collapses and something raw exhibits its will upon the reins of circumstance. A word for when cultivation gives way to wilderness. Uncle Will would reach for it twice, once in horror, once in warning. The word is savagery. And when William first uses it, it is not subtle. It is not metaphorical. It is a cry of grief. Our first stop is the court of King John. By Act IV, young Arthur, rightful heir to the throne, has been imprisoned. Politics are unstable, loyalties brittle, and fear is thick in the air. The young Arthur has leapt to his death, and is found by the nobles who recoil in outrage. Salisbury gives voice to what the court barely dares to name.
Have you beheld, or have you read, or heard, or could you think, or do you almost think, although you see that you do see? Could thought, without this object, form such another? This is the very top, the height, the crest, or crest unto the crest, of murder's arms. This is the bloodiest shame, the wildest savage in the vilest stroke.
Here savagery is dark, brutal, visceral. It describes an act so cruel it feels almost beyond humanity. A rupture of the moral fabric of the kingdom, the death of a child. But our fair uncle wasn't quite finished with the word. The word savage comes from the Latin silvaticus, literally of the woods, deriving from silva, meaning forest. It then swung through the canopy of old French sauvage, coming to mean wild, uncultivated, untamed. Add the suffix ery, and you have savagery, not just wilderness, but the state or condition of being wild. In King John, savagery is human, brutally breaking through courtly restraint. But William's woodland wanderings would wind into his dubious history of Henry V, where in Act V, Scene 2, he turns the word outward. The Duke of Burgundy, pleading for peace between England and France, laments what war has done to the land itself.
Even so, our houses and ourselves and children have lost, or do not learn for want of time, the sciences that should become our country, but grow like savages, as soldiers will that nothing do but meditate on blood, to swearing and stern looks.
Here savagery is not murder, it is neglect. Fields go untilled, vines choke, civilization untended reverts to wilderness. William's words here mark a striking shift. Savagery is not only an act of violence. It is what happens when order collapses, when cultivation ceases, when power fails its duty to society. Across centuries, the word would be misused, weaponized in colonial rhetoric, applied to peoples rather than behaviors. But to William's imagination, savagery is not racial. It is moral. It is the moment when restraint disappears, and it can happen anywhere, in a court, in a kingdom, or in the human heart. For our fair uncle, savagery is not born in the wilderness. It is born when we forget to tend to what makes us civil. Left unattended, power, like land, grows wild, and then, who knows, what savagery can be committed. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.